Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace. What up, family? We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotel, Assalamu Alaikum, Mbarigani. This is Brother Montour, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, where we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. And family, we back in the building for another week, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family. 2020 has been, you know, amazing. There's been a lot going on, you know, with the election and whatnot. But we, you know, we're going to take a detour with this conversation and get into the hip-hop violence. You know, for those that may not know, it was a few rappers that had got shot and murdered, you know, within the past 3 weeks. So, you know, we're going to talk about the violence in the genre that we call hip-hop. So, yeah, but before we get into that, got to ask Queen Rigel, how was your week? And do you have any announcements for us?
I had a great week. No announcements, though, but I did have a great week.
A lot. Yes, indeed. That's good. My brother Mufasa Ra, how was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
Yeah, I had an interesting week. I'm on this quarantine. I'm on the COVID quarantine, fam, so it's been interesting. I was working with a guy who tested positive for COVID. So since he tested positive and I was around him for an extended period of time, I had to self-quarantine, you know. But by the grace of Allah, I've not had any symptoms. I feel good. So, yeah, I'm good, y'all. I'm good. You know, the self-quarantine has allowed me time to reflect just upon myself, things that I want to get accomplished in life, my personal goals, and not, you know, focus on working for somebody else. It gives me time to reflect upon myself. So self-quarantine ain't been all that bad.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Well, we, you know, we glad you're all right, brother. And, yeah, hopefully, you know, it don't, you know, it's all good. So much respect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, family. So,
you know, I have to say this real quick.
What's up?
That, you yes, know, sir. We went in on COVID some months ago. We talked about COVID on
right.
this blog talk show. And, you know, I say that I speak to the script of what I said. For the most part, you know, I eat one meal a day, try to drink plenty of water, get fruits and vegetables in me. So, you know, that, you know, by, like I said, by Allah's grace and mercy, I haven't contacted and contracted anything. And the guy who I was around, he had ended up going to the hospital. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a, you know, another warning to everybody, you know, still treat it serious. Wash your hands, wear your mask, you know, be safe. Don't be scared. But be safe.
Right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Protect yourself. Yeah, family. I don't have any announcements. You know, just shout out to everybody. I think we in what's this, Scorpio season. So yeah, shout out to all the Scorpios and whatnot.
Yeah, buddy.
Yes, sir. They are a special group of folks. But yeah, mm-hmm. our peoples nonetheless, you dig? I rock with Scorpios. But yeah, family, so, you know, we talking about, you know, why is hip-hop such a violent genre? You know, those that may not know, you know, Cosmic Kev, you know, I'm a huge hip-hop fan. I grew up on hip-hop. You know, I love the genre. It actually started out, you know, as a way, you know, for people to release it. You know, for those that know the history, it started in the Bronx, New York, when, you know, they was taking a lot of the school, you know, musician programs. There was a lot going on as far as, you know, systematic oppression and things like that. And the people just had to find a way, you know, to really express themselves. And that's how hip-hop was, you know, was born out of that, you know, out of the rubble of, you know, all those things going around in the community. And, you know, within, what, 20, 30 years, this genre has really took over. And, you know, the mainstream felt that it was a genre where they could use to, you know, to sell products and whatnot and, you know, advertise and do things like that. But, you know, it really started out locally within, you know, certain communities, certain black communities, black American communities, and it grew into this, you know, worldwide phenomenon. Now, what's been happening is we have seen a lot of violence in hip-hop. We've seen, you know, rappers get shot. Like, it's just been a lot going on, even going back to the first one. The first rapper or DJ or whatnot, a prominent person in the hip-hop community that got shot and killed was Scott LaRock, who was down with Boogie Down Productions back in the day. And, you know, he ended up getting killed in 1987. And since then, it's been a long list of rappers that have been shot. We all know about Tupac. We know about Biggie. We know about Big L. You know, Freaky Ty, Jam Master Jay, Soulja Slim, Mac Dre, Big Hawk, like the name goes on. And this year alone, you know, it's been, you know, we had Pop Smoke get killed in February. Huey, which is from St. Louis, he's a St. Louis rapper. Huey was shot and killed in June. This young man, Dang. King Von, was killed November 6th. And then we just had a Dallas rapper who signed a little Boosie, Mo 3. He was killed a couple days ago on a, you know, high-speed chase is what they're saying, and he got shot up and was killed. And in addition to that, the rapper Lil Boosie from Louisiana, he was shot attending, you know, I think it was either a vigil or something to commemorate Mo 3's death. While he was in Dallas, Lil Boosie ended up getting shot in the leg from what they're reporting. So, yeah, family, you know, we want to have this conversation and to kind of see what's going on with hip-hop. Why, out of all the genres, you know, you got country music, you got R&B, you got rock, you got, you know, all these different musical genres, but it seems like, you know, violence, for some reason, follows hip-hop artists around. You know, so we want to have this conversation. Like I say, hip hop is near and dear to my heart. You know, I pay attention to what's going on and how things are moving, even with the new look, you know, the new guys, the new young cast that's coming up. You know, I try to pay attention and see how they're moving and see what's going on. But, you know, I think this conversation that needs to be had and, you know, people who are definitely in the industry, you know, we need to figure out something. Is it the art reflecting reality, or is it the reality reflected in the art? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, hit us up, family. The number is 929-477-1697. And we're going to go to Queen Rigel first. And, you know, why do you think, because this is a question, why do you think hip-hop is such a violent genre, and why, you know, why do you think these rappers are, you know, getting shot and killed? It's not like, you know, they dying from old age or anything. These are young men, you know, that are dying to gun violence when they are, you know, what most people would view as successful. You know, they got hits, they got a little bit of money, they got stuff playing on the radio, they got a little bit of fame, people know them. You know, this is what quote unquote success looks like. So, you know, what is your take on the violence in hip hop, Queen Rigel?
Okay. Well, you pretty much you know, nailed it at the end when you mentioned about you know, is it mimicking the art? And really what it is, it's a mindset. Hip hop is a mentality. It's a mindset, and it's what you're rapping about. You guys heard the term, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So
right, right.
when we're doing things in life, we create an atmosphere and energy around us, and people may call their karma, which is mainly just memory of the things that we are, involved in. You know, if we are rapping about certain things and we try to also portray the reality because we want to be what we're rapping about and all that, then those types of things, you know, you are dwelling within that atmosphere. So it's almost like you have to be careful of what you speak, because you can speak things into existence. And when it comes to hip hop, especially more now, it evolves like everything else. You know, when we were coming up, hip hop wasn't just so violent. Now it definitely has evolved into violent talk. You know, the things that they rap about, violence, drugs, sex, those types of things, which none of those things are things that is going to allow you to have a long life, you know. So when you're inviting these types of energies within your space and your mind and your aura and your atmosphere, you're hanging around other people that's thinking the same way, it's like, what else are you expecting to come out of this? If the individuals don't change their mindset and their environment and step outside of that, then the chances of gun violence happening to them is more slim, you know. And change your environment has a lot to do with it too, because you cannot just stay in the hood. There was one
right.
rapper that we had a conversation about off air. Mufasa had sent us, he had did a interview with Black TV, and he had been shot, and I think he was asking him why haven't he, you know, left the particular city he was in, you know. So if we don't change our environment and we're still, you know, making the same type of suit, then we're going to get the same results, you know. So if it's in the music, it's your mentality, so that's what you're going to create. Those are going to be the type of results that you create, you know. So I just think that it's,
right.
it's unfortunate that hip hop has attached to all the negative things that do kill the community. You know, it has attached itself to the drugs, and those are the things that we teach our kids not to get involved in, you know. But yet when you're in the hood and you desire to rap, that's one of the first things you rap about. Even if you kind of flip it and on a positive note, you still mention it as if to say, yeah, I used to do this, or I seen this coming up, you know, and now I'm not doing it, you know, anymore. I don't have to do this anymore. It's still there, you know. So I just think it's just, I think hip hop is a mentality and it's a mindset. So if you within that, you know, hey, that's just what it is. You know, some people are fortunate enough to be in it and not fall victim, but you live in a dangerous lifestyle. You walk on a fine line when you're partaking in those things. It's like playing Russian roulette, you know. So if you're creating this lifestyle, then those are your potentials. That's how I see it. Because people die, you know, people die. You know, you have country musicians die, you know. People die all around the world, you know, for all types of reasons. And, you know, but hip-hop is still like one of those things where it's still, you know, a mentality. So if that's your mentality, then, you know, it's kind of hard to escape it, escape the, you know, the potential that can come with it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, people do die, but it's like, for some reason, you know, hip-hop artists, and like I said, these artists are young, they get hit with gun violence. So, yeah, you know, that's just an interesting dynamic. And we're going to let our brother Mufasa go in. What do you think, you know, is the cause of, you know, hip-hop being so violent and these rappers getting shot and killed, you know, straight up murdered? And most, you know, somebody pointed this out too, most of the time they get killed in their home city. When you would think if you're at home, that should be the place where you, you know, should be most protected, right? Like if you at home, you know, you from this place, that should be the place where, you know, you should feel most protected, but it seemed like it's the opposite in hip-hop because these cats come back home and that, or, you know, they end up getting shot in their home, which is crazy. But, you know, what do you
think?
Yeah,
that's not the lifestyle,
though. Why do you think?
That's not the lifestyle.
Right. Yeah, so my brother Mufasa, why do you think, you know, hip-hop is such a violent genre and, you know, why these rappers getting gunned down at such a young age?
Well, I got to start with saying product of your environment. Product of your environment. A lot of these rappers who rap about this particular lifestyle that, you know, Roger alluded to, and we're talking, you know, a gangster goon style lifestyle, a lot of these rappers come from areas where this type of thing go on in their environment, in their neighborhoods. You know, so many of their peers have lost their life. You just don't hear about it because they ain't a rapper. They not known. So all that's happening is you just basically taking one of these individuals who's a product of their environment and you giving them a platform, you know, in order to, you know, make music. But they're still attached to that environment. All the traumas is still in them from that environment. Like you said about some of these rappers getting killed in their hometowns. I mean, that's where a lot of the places is where they kicked up dust at. So you know, they enemies, now they call them they ops for opposition. They don't care if you a rapper now. I mean, a lot of times they give them even more reasons to want to take you out because now they already mad for the stuff that y'all and beast good that got into it in the streets. But now they even more mad because now you shining. You know what I'm saying? You shining. So, and the thing that gets me, like, what I really don't like about it, especially what's going on in Chicago, is how these young men and women, they are really embracing and, you know, loving up on this gangster lifestyle. Like, they enjoying it. You know, it used to be what you talked about, you know, wanting to do better, trying to do better. But it's like these youngsters, either they, A, have just lost all hope, and they don't see another future, a brighter way or a different way. Or some of them just really be loving what they're doing. Like, prime example, you brought up the one artist that I had told y'all about. I think his name was Duck. It was something Duck. He was a Chicago rapper. And
right.
In one of his songs, he basically was talking about dead opposition, you know, dead people that from the other side, that, you know, who he's beefing with, who are dead, just bragging and talking crap about them being dead. Now, you got to know that you saying that on a record is going to bring you some type of heat back, some type of drama. Like, what are you thinking? And let alone you're going to say that and still stay in the same city that you talking about these cats in. So to me, it's like a lot of these cats, their mindset is just, they so entrenched in that type of lifestyle, they don't even want a way out. They don't want a way out, don't even see a way out. Because I know if I was making that type of money, you know, I would do my best to, you know, definitely move to another environment. But unfortunately, when they move, you know, they still take some of the same crowd with them, even when they go to another city. When they doing their shows, they in a city where it's the same type of thuggery going on. So they go to another city and can still get touched because they still stay in the same type of environment. It's just a different city. So I keep, you know, coming back to that product of your environment, because so many of these young men and women have come up and just lost their hope and their way. They don't see a better way or a brighter way. You know, they don't know how. Some don't even want to make a change. Some of them already come in just knowing, hey, you know, I'm basically committing suicide. I'm trying to die, and that's really sad. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
That you had a type of mindset. And one other thing, I remember back in the day when Tupac was under attack for his lyrics, and we had elders back then. It was Tupac and some other rappers, Snoop Dogg. We had a group of elders who was bashing their CDs and bulldozing their CDs, you know, to where Tupac and them was speaking out against them. Delores Tucker was leading the way, you know, leading away against, like, y'all need to clean these legs up. And Tupac and it was back down for that, like saying, you know, you trying to censor us and we don't want to make no money. But now that we're older, I can see why the Lord's Tuggers and them was doing it. Because, like Roger said, you sitting up there bragging on this type of stuff. You know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So, yeah, these guys, I'm almost at the point, y'all, where I don't care about that censorship. I think some things really do need to be straight censored. And we are to find a way where labels and whoever else, like, who's feeding these young men with this type of money? Because that's another thing. They gravitate
right
to that type of lifestyle
right
because of the money. You know, these artists
right
who are trying to rap about positive things, they don't get no attention. Nobody want to hear that crap. But when they're talking about ignorance and foolishness, they're getting paid, people loving up on them. So who's funding this stuff? There ought to be something
right
put into place where we cut that off. You know, stop feeding these dudes with that type of money that they're, you know, that's making them want to do this type of music. We need to snip it, you know, cut it. And then after we do that, we need to dig back into that environment and come to some conclusions and some solutions, on how we can make these environments better, these breeding grounds for, you know, all this murder. Because that's the reality. It's not nothing
right
fake. These young men and women are warring and beefing like crazy in these in the cities. You know, we talking about some rappers who are known, but it's countless young people who we don't know, whose names we don't know. They be getting blasted every day for just some petty stuff, small stuff. You know, looked at me wrong. You know, they just
Thinking
to get into beef and drama. So, yeah, we need to put. I feel like we need to censor that type of music. Stop paying these artists so much money for that type of music that they make, and then we need to get into these inner cities, into these communities, so we can see why these young people are becoming products of their environment. You know, what can we do to fix their living conditions? You know, to give them a better outlook on life and try to change their mindset, because until then, man, this stuff gonna keep going on. It's really sad. It's unfortunate.
Yes, indeed.
You know,
yes, indeed.
Because like you said, when other music platforms, you don't hear about, like you say, country music or pop artists beefing and shooting and killing each other. Yeah, they might have some altercations here and there, but nothing on this level. Nothing on this type of level where artists are killing each other. You just don't hear that. It don't happen. You know,
well,
you don't
frequency
hear about
is different.
Musicians
they're on a different
well,
frequency.
Of course.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Of course.
So
that's
you won't
that's
hear
what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, they on
that's
different
what I'm
frequency.
Saying. That's what I'm
is
saying.
Different.
We need to...
Their language is different, and we all know that because a lot of people don't realize the impact of language, the words that's used, you know, words have frequency, words have meaning and energy associated with it, and we are unaware of how we are using language, and we use language so incorrectly. Everything, we have to look at everything as a tool, and we don't. Everything is a tool, and therefore things should be used correctly. We don't even use language correctly, you know. But you know, the hip hop language, it's a lower frequency. Look at the words that's used, the language that's used, you know. So it's you're gonna have different outcomes when you associate them. You just have years and generations on top of it of just all kind of bad language, bad, you know, using things incorrectly, you know, so you're going to have the karma that I was talking about, because it's like what you put out, you get back, you know. So we talking all these years of putting out this type of bad language, this bad energy. What you think what's going to come back to that? You know, it's not going to be the same outcome. The frequency is different. When you can't compare it to a R&B unless you have an R&B rapper that sings and uses the same language and has the same mentality of a hip hop artist. And same with country, but it's just their mentality is different. If you choose to do something that's other than hip hop, that automatically means that your mindset is different. You know.
Right. Yeah, family, if you're just joining us, we are talking about, you know, why is hip-hop such a violent genre? Hit us up at number 929-477-1697. We all get to the call lines here in 1 second. I think both of y'all made some great points. You know, as for me, I kind of, you know, I look at hip-hop from a historical standpoint, like I say, because I've been a fan for so long, and I kind of seen where hip-hop kind of lost its way, because, you know, when hip-hop first started, it was actually a genre that was based off being authentic, and it was dominated by alpha males, you know, strong men in the community. And at some point, we kind of lost our way with that, but if you remember, though, we had groups like Public Enemy, you know, Poor Righteous Teachers, Boogie Down Production, you know, with rappers like KRS-One, which means knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everyone. We had Big Daddy Kane. Kane stood for King, Asiatic, Nobody Equal. You know, we had Rakim, Public Enemy. Like, all these groups were symbolic to what hip-hop originally stood for. And people got to remember, you got, they say you got four pillars in hip-hop, which is MCing, DJing, breakdancing, and graffiti or art. Those are the main four. But the fifth pillar of hip-hop was always knowledge. It was always knowledge. You had to kick some knowledge. You had to kick some science of what was going on. You know what I'm saying? You had early groups like Melly Mel that dropped the message, where he was just, you know, dropping gems and basically making people conscious or aware of what's going on around them. And that is what, that is the hip hop I remember. You know what I'm saying? That is what it was rooted in for me. Like, I came into, you know, somewhat of a consciousness by listening to these hip hop artists, BDP, Public Enemy, Ice Cube on something. You know, Ice Cube used to bring the Minister in on his albums, or have Khalid Muhammad and things like that. Public Enemy would also have, you know, Minister Farrakhan on there. So that particular part, when you took out the knowledge itself, the gnosis that the community had, is when you could see, you know, the shift in hip-hop. And like I say, it's two phrases that I think, you know, where these violent acts are coming from, and people who, you know, are supposed to be successful rapper are bringing that street mentality into the rap game, is two phrases that I think did that. That is keeping it real and being a real nigga. Excuse my friends if anybody listening, but keeping it real and being a real nigga are the two things that really messed up this particular genre, in my opinion, because there's so many people who are dead or in jail because they kept it real and they was trying to be a real nigga. And that's why I think we kind of lost our way with hip-hop. Again, we took out the knowledge, and people was too focused on being real. If you speak the lyrics, you got to live the lyrics. But like Jay-Z said, he did all that, so hopefully you ain't got to go through that. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to be honest, I'm not with the censorship, because it's like, you know, then we go start censoring movies and TVs. Like, there's a certain censorship to those things, but I think as an artist, you should be free to tell, you know, your particular truth, to tell your story. And I think you can separate that from actually being, you know, a violent criminal or involved in street activity. You know, you can have separation, but for some reason, you know, because, you know, and this goes into a broader economic thing when you talk about black people as a whole, right? Because we don't have all the resources we need or should have. When a rapper makes it out of the hood, it's so many people within that particular community that is dependent on them. You know, then you got people who are jealous of them, you know, people who are envious, people who, you know, maybe don't want to let them live their street life down, and so on and so forth. And I know a lot of times people feel like, hey, well, especially this is my hometown, I should be able to move how I move. And, you know, that's when the problems start coming in, and you get haters, you get people, you know, trying to take what they got, some in the past that didn't happen, and they feel some type of way. They didn't seen this mug on TV or heard him on the radio, and they feel some type of way. And they come in with the street activity for, you know, this particular artist or whatnot. So I think the issue is really has a lot to do with, you know, some socioeconomic things that need to be handled. And we've lost, like I say, we've lost the knowledge in hip hop, and we've lost the code of conduct in the streets. Because if we keep it real, hip hop and the quote-unquote streets or, you know, underworld criminal activity, they've always been tied into each other. You know, they've always been tied into each other. And when, like I say, in the beginning, there was actually a street code, right? There was a street code. You know, you don't mess with the kids, you don't mess with the women, you don't mess with the elderly, things like that. But that code has gone out the window. And now there is no code. People out here, you got people in hip hop snitching, you got people, you know, messing with little kids. Like, it's just all type of things where the code is not the same. And you get these artists that are, you know, getting gunned down, and it's sad. You know, and like I said, because I'm a huge fan of hip hop, it's sad to see these young brothers go out like this, trying to live what they rapping about in their lyrics and not being, you know, taking precautions, being safe, and just elevating as a person and trying to get away from some of that stuff. Because you can't, you know, you make a few albums, like when you start getting money, like, are you a rapper or are you a street guy? Because I believe, like Ice-T said one time, you cannot be both. One of them's going to catch up with you. You know what I'm saying? You cannot be a rapper and a street dude at the same time. It's almost impossible, because at the end of the day, one of those lifestyles is going to catch up with you, and more than likely it's going to be the street lifestyle. So, you know, yeah, like I say, it's just sad. I'm going to leave it right there for now. Hit us up, family. We're talking about the violence in hip-hop. If you don't know, King Von was a Chicago rapper. He got shot and killed in Atlanta, you know, early November. And then a couple days ago, Dallas rapper Mo3 got shot and killed in Dallas. Lil Bootsy I think he was signed to Lil Bootsy's label. And Lil Bootsy went to Dallas to, you know, to pay his respects and do little things to commemorate his death. And Lil Bootsy ended up getting shot at, you know, and they say he got shot in the leg or whatnot. And then, you know, you got Pop Smoke early this year that got killed in L.A. You got Huey, he got killed in his hometown right here in St. Louis. So, you know, it's been a violent uptick as we, you know, look at the murder count for the major cities in America in 2020. It's been a violent uptick, even with, you know, COVID and all that stuff going on. For some reason, homicides have risen. And, you know, with that, it's been taking out, you know, a lot of people who, you know, who are rappers. You know, a lot of the young people know these guys. Like, some of the new guys, I really, like, I hear them, but it's not like I follow their music or anything, but I'm just kind of tapped into where I kind of hear and see what's going on. But a lot of these music, like my brother Mufasa was saying, a lot of them speak on death. They speak on going after their ops. They talk about it in their music. And just real quick, when you talk about Mo3, you know, and this is public record, so it ain't like I'm saying some information that don't nobody know. But Mo3 had beef, and it's a known beef, with a Dallas rapper Yellow Beezy. Now, I'm not, you know, of course I'm not saying he had something to do with his murder, but that was a known beef that these two gentlemen had. They've spoke about it on their records multiple times. There have been shootouts. There was a Dallas comedian who was cool with Mo3. I can't think of the young brother's name, but he had got shot this year recently and died. Yellow Beezy had got shot at. You know what I'm saying? So it's something going on within that Dallas rap community.
Yellow Beezy got shot. Not just shot at.
Yellow Beezy got shot. Yeah, he got shot. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Right. He did. He got shot at and got hit. And, you know, by the grace of the ancestors, he didn't die. But, again, Dallas, the rappers have their beef, and they put it on wax and whatnot. And Chicago has been known to do the same thing, where they talking about their ops and, you know, Chief keep talking about folks he beefing with and whatnot, and they going back and forth on wax, and then it hits the streets. You know what I'm saying? So, like I say, the two things that really messed that up is Mug's trying to keep it real and be a real one. Like, you, I think you can be a real one, you know, be authentic and be true to yourself without the extra violence, without the, you know, going on wax and doing things, and then you feel like you got to play that out in the streets. No, Mug's got to be smarter than that and get on code. You know what I'm saying? As a community, we have to get on code, because I always go back to, you can kill 100 niggas on wax, excuse my friend, you can kill 100 folks on record. 100 black people, mind you. You know, a nigga do this, nigga do that, I'm killing, whoop-de-whoop. But let you say something about a white supremacist, or let you even say, you can't even say the word Jew in a rap. Like, you could be giving them props, and they won't let that fly. But yet, you can get on wax and talk about all the niggas you done killed and did this and that. So, you know, we got to wake up and get smart and be on code. You know, why is this acceptable for us to be talking about, you know, if a nigga do this, I'm going to shoot him, blah, blah, blah. But the minute you say something about anybody else, they're going to correct you and check you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we got to get smart as a community and wise up. And this is what happens when you let other people control the very genre that you created. If we had control of the genre, I think it would be a lot better and it would be more beneficial to us. But since we don't control the money and the distribution, we let others control it. They know the type of stuff that to put out that can, you know, basically undermine our communities. You know what I'm saying? To a certain degree. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it right there.
I think,
and, you know, we, go ahead.
I was just going to add something quick before we get to the caller, too. Because I think we're, unfortunately, I don't know how this is going to sound when I say it, but I know how it sounds when I think it to myself. And just unfortunately, we are really expecting a lot from this new generation. And the reason I say that is because you have to, in order to want to rap about something positive, you have to have a certain level of energy. Again, it's still the frequency in the mind, the mindset. And we're premature in a way that they're not fully developed. They're out of the womb, yes. But they're underdeveloped. They're malnutrition. They don't eat the right foods. They don't have the right education, the right guidance. Everything is chemical consumption, water, chemicals in the water, chemicals in the food. They're underdeveloped. So the chances of them even really trying to think on a higher level, we're asking a lot. I'm not saying it can't be done, but just like with the voting thing, unfortunately, it's other issues that have to be corrected in order for us to see a magnificent change in the mentality of the hip-hop artists that we want to see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're underdeveloped. They're rapping about the things that they see. The neighborhoods are underdeveloped. Their lifestyle, everything. And until we change the mindset, and we have to detach away from all these material things, then we're going to keep finding ourselves doing anything for money. We have to figure out a way to detach from the bling bling, detach from the material things. You know, when you say that you're healthy or wealthy, that should be within your health, how you can reach your highest potential. Not the type of money you have, because that stuff goes away. It's your wealth is your body. Your wealth is your mind, your state of mind.
Right.
Reaching to your highest potential in your body and your mind. Your health is your wealth, because that is what that is going to dictate what you get from this world and out of this world. So we have to learn how to detach away from all these material things. And I hate to say it, but I think we're just asking too much from underdeveloped people.
And that's it. Yeah. Yeah, and just one more thing real quick. I think Mufasa brought this up. I think we should, you know, be holding these record labels accountable too. Now, most people are going an independent route, you know, as of here lately. But these labels, you know, YouTube, like some of these, they need to be held liable because, again, they're giving these young people who they know are gang-affiliated, underdeveloped.
They're making sure that they're underdeveloped.
Exactly. They have beef in the streets, and they're actually funding these wars indirectly, you know, because if you're signing a label who's, I mean, if you're signing an artist who's from a particular set, trust me, when these labels are giving these artists these million-dollar contracts and whatnot, they've done their research on these guys. They know their criminal history. They know because this is an investment for them. So they know what type of activity they're involved in. They know all these things, but yet they're funding these people knowing that, you know, they're still in the streets and they're using those funds to, you know, buy, you know, all type of things. But my point is the label should be liable as far as funding a lot of these wars that we see, especially in Chicago. You know, I do know that, you know, the labels that like Chief Keef was on, 300, a lot of these guys, they were being funded by the labels and they were funding wars, you know, between different different factions and whatnot. And when these rappers get killed and, you know, go to jail and whatnot, the labels like, hey, they don't get nobody looks at them. Nobody say, well, hey, well, where do you get this money from to do X, Y, Z? You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think these labels need to be checked for things. Yeah, but I digress. You feel me? Let's get it. Let's hit the call line. She was up, family. Hit us up, 929-477-1697. We are asking, you know, why is rap such a violent genre, family? Talk to us.
Okay. Let's get it. Area code 314-381. Caller, you are on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Well, I can't comment much on the rap, hip hop. That's over my head.
Wow.
But you can tell us though. You can give us your opinion on some things we could do to uplift these young men or to change their mindsets. Like,
well, I'm gonna tell you something.
What ideas do you have on, that we can repair some of these young men and their bad behavior?
I really, to be truthful with you, I don't think that you're going to change them without you expending money and time. Who say they want to be changed? See, how old is the average hip hopper that tries to get in the limelight? He's beyond 21, right?
I would say,
yeah. Under 30, under 25,
there ain't that much you gonna do. Your better chances with them children, them kids in high in elementary school. That's where
they started. They inspired to be artists at like preteen. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, they've been
young before they get into the hip hop industry.
Well, then their family is doing them, parents and family doing them a disservice.
There you go.
Because.
Right. And then, but.
What's the rate?
Now, right. I was just about to say, if you listen to a lot of these rappers, they don't come from, you know, stellar backgrounds as far as family. You know what I'm saying? A lot of these cats do have some issues, you know, as far as family go, from what, you know, from what they say. You know, they have mommy issues, they have daddy issues, and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, that's a problem. And we also got to remember, too, that hip-hop was born out of a rebellious spirit. You know what I'm saying? It was born going against the establishment, going against, you know, the status quo. So it was born out of a rebellious spirit. So I just wanted to put that out there, too.
Well, if you want to look at a, you know, there's model citizens and there's model people. And then you got those that who come about and go the wrong way. I don't even know if you want to say it. That's something that they choose. You know, look at the space launch that's going on here. When is it, tomorrow? It was put off yesterday. The person that's piloting that is Victor Glover. He's a black man from Pomona, California. And he's a naval pilot. He has over 400 carrier landings and 3,000 flight hours. So that there is a person who has need to be looked at. That should be your model citizen, I think. If you're going to have a black hero, that's a black hero to me. He's got certifications, has several master degrees, and I think he's 42 years old, maybe 40. All that. So
yes,
I think
indeed.
That
all right.
I think you put up the wrong person for what to be like, and I think that you know my grandson played baseball. He still does. And coming up, he played with at least three players that have signed with major league clubs. One went out to Westminster. Another one went to, I believe he went to Ritner. CC, he's white. AJ is black. And it's another one. But AJ is, I think he's in the Philadelphia. And I think CC is in the Marlins. But they forego going to college. Well, I told my grandson, you going to college. You can play baseball in college. So that's the decision that had to be made. If people want to do that, then you have to have a functional family. Come on, we need to talk about that. The child needs to be guided. They just can't be, their determination on the direction they go can't be led by the lyrics of singers or rappers that they hear on the radio.
Right.
And if that is the determinant faction in which direction they take, I don't think that's too good. But who am I to say?
All right. Well, we appreciate you. Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, Carla. Yes, indeed. Because like I say, you know, before we go on, it's gonna take the entire community to solve this issue, because it goes back to, like you say, what type of community, what type of family, what type of upbringing. You know, what type of issues are these, you know, these guys dealing with, these rappers dealing with, that causes them to be drawn to gun violence or get gunned down and killed? You know what I'm saying? It's some issues that that need to be dealt with in the community to solve it. And if we deal with the community issues, I think the music would reflect a better lifestyle. You see what I'm saying? But we got to get to the root of the problem first, and then we'll see kids start to rap about more positive things and not what they're seeing, but what they would want to see. You know, aspiration rap as far as how would they want, you know, a better world to look like as opposed to the world that they come from. You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. So I digress, family. Let's hit the call lines.
Okay. Area code 319-572. Call your own with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, I just have a comment. It's pretty much like this. It's not like the old school when Biggie and Tupac used to go back and forth. Now, when you diss somebody in your rap, the younger generation are so emotional that And they're so thin-skinned that all they could do is well, I'm a shoot. And then again, you're also product of your environment. And if you're always running out here rapping, talking about I'm a shoot you this, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. Well, now you're going to a different city to do a show, and you done talked all this hard. Now you're going into this other city where people are gonna test you. Be like, okay, let's see if he's really as hard as he say. Matter of fact, let's try to grab his chain, see what he does. But a lot of it is they have thin skin now. It's not like back in the day when you could battle rap back and forth. Be like, okay, oh man, you just hear what he said about you? Yeah. Now I'm gonna lay down some bars against him. They don't do that. So, and then like you said, they're younger and they're younger. They don't care.
Yeah.
And a lot of
them
actually live that life that they're talking about. And then you got some that don't. So they get tested.
You know, I wanted to add this too because
the
Boosie was one of the ones who got shot.
Like I just said, it's the energy that they put off. You put off negative energy, you're going to get negative.
So.
But like Yogi said, it starts at home. You gotta be like, no, you're not listening to this stuff. Because if your kid knows the lyrics to all his favorite rap songs, but he can't say his ABC, y'all doing something wrong. So it starts with the parents.
Yes, sir.
The parents saying, hey, you're not listening to this. I'm not allowing this in my house. That's where my father was. It had cussing in it. You better have some headphones.
Right.
Because he wasn't going to play it in his house. So,
yeah.
And he was very picky on the type of music he allowed us to listen to. So.
Right. Right.
And I don't listen to a lot of new rap either. So I'm going to say that right there, too. I don't listen to a lot of. I like the early 90s. And what happened was the industry say, hey, there's no money in KRS-One. There's no money in Natural. There's no money in this positive. Like, look at the rest of development. Always had a good message, but they couldn't get re-signed.
Right.
Because it didn't follow what the white people wanted to hear. So.
Right, exactly. Yep. All right, Carl. Appreciate you. Yes, indeed, family. If you're
Thanks,
just
Tom.
Joining us, we are talking about the violence in hip-hop. If you don't know, within the past couple weeks, three rappers been shot. Two of them got killed. That makes about five that we know of in 2020 that have been killed. FBG Duck, Pop Smoke, Huey, and then we had King Von, Chicago rapper, and Mo3, a Dallas rapper that was gunned down this weekend.
I want to add something right quick.
Go ahead, my brother.
Because I heard Lil Boosie make this comment. Lil Boosie was one of the rappers who got shot yesterday. He just got hit in the leg and then died. But in an interview that he did within the past couple of days, he was actually speaking on the King Von incident. And in that one there was a fight that had broke up. I mean, they were throwing hands. King Von was throwing hands with another guy. And one of the other guy's people, was the one who shot him. And Bush was just letting it be known that, hey, most of the majority of these rappers, especially when you of a certain status like Boosie or, someone else, when you're at a certain level, they have basically a hired gunman with them. They got a dude that ain't going to ask no questions. Just going to come out with the burner. You snatch my chain and we ain't going to fight you.
Mm-hmm.
Down to your business. So, that mindset, that gangster mindset that if you do something, I'm just going to, kill you. something that we're going to have to deal with. everything that somebody do to you don't have to end with a death. You know, not to end with
right.
with a murder. Like we don't know how to resolve beefs. I use don't
right.
know how to resolve issues, don't know how to conflict resolution.
Because they're underdeveloped.
Right.
Everything ends in death if you're a zombie. They don't know, like you said, they don't know how, but they're underdeveloped.
So we
right,
know that
right.
this is what's going on in our community, and these young people are underdeveloped, you know, because we always about solutions on this blog talk as well. Then we're going to have
right.
to start focusing on how to not have our youth be underdeveloped. We have to repair these youth. These youths,
right?
Excuse me, youth.
Yeah, right, right.
But yeah, we have to repair what's going on in these communities with these children.
This is true. This is true. Yeah, y'all want to hit the call lines? I had a comment, but we can hit the call line.
Okay, area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, Rosalie, you taking these your people that come on all the time back to back tonight, ain't you? Getting us all right in the beginning so you can get us knocked out and out the way.
That.
So I say,
no.
You guys are talking about the gun violence, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was a part of the biggest gang in the world. You know that. I've been involved and participated in a whole lot of gun violence myself.
Right.
And you know, my gang still pays me quite well, and I don't have to work for them no more. But I would never
mm-hmm.
think about packaging it up and selling it to the media. But so it's kind of weird. There's a difference between real killers and these artists out here that like to try to portray themselves as killers.
Right.
And like
right.
like my brother said earlier, it's propaganda, and that's what they're just trying to make money in the end. They don't understand,
mm-hmm.
or even if they do understand, they don't care because what it's doing to the population, because they're getting paid. They said, if
right.
it's not me doing it, someone's going to do it, because the people that are moving our society in the direction that they want it to move in need this to happen to destabilize the people themselves. Because this music isn't targeted towards the people that are out there killing. This music is targeted towards
right.
the people that are, you know, the bland, mild-minded sheep that just want a little bit of excitement in their life, and have them think that the world is really like this. But it's just a very small portion of our actual urban community is like this. We see it a lot
right.
because it's good. It's good media. So and so died. So and so died. So and so died. It's great media. It sells.
Mm-hmm.
Death sells. So you think
right.
it happens way. You think it's way worse than what it really is. People have been killing people since people have existed.
Right. Right.
It's just. But we're looking at it as, why is it so many black people right now are killing each other? But I'll tell you what. All around the world. If you sum up all the people dying all around the world, it's not just a whole lot of black people dying. There's a whole lot of people around this planet dying.
Yes,
so we can't control
it. Exactly.
We can't control it all. But we can talk about what, you know, was in our sphere, but we can't even control what's in our sphere, because the people that we're talking about, there's no way in hell you'd go up and talk to them about this. Because you know
right.
that you'd be talking to a blank wall. They're doing what
yeah.
they do to survive. The people that are – so I did what I did because that was my job. The reason that these people are out here killing in the streets, well, part of it may be because that's their job. That's what they do. But they're very – but the people in the streets doing it, they're generally pretty insecure people, run high on emotion.
Right.
And
yes.
they can't – yeah, they lack self-control.
Exactly.
They're insecure people that run on high emotion and lack self-control. You know what causes all three of those things? not having a father to tell you how to be a person that doesn't have to go around shooting people to be respected.
Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. And also, when you add drugs and alcohol in the mix, too, we can't leave that, out.
Yes.
Because people go on these.
But
three
that's another thing that a father
and,
would teach you to not do.
Right. Right.
And we can't blame the men for just not being there. Because a lot of the time the state won't let the man be there. Or they throw the man in jail because he loses his job and can't pay the child support for a couple of months. And they refuse to lower it. So now he can't see his kid because he's in jail and he has to work twice as hard to pay for, you know, to pay to stay out of jail. Where does he have, and that's a good type of father, the father that actually wants to be around his kid. But he can't because the state puts up these roadblocks. Because the woman is enabled to cut and run for a paycheck. Enabled by the state and enabled by society and her peers and even other men who don't understand the society that they're living in and call other fathers deadbeat dads when they're just as held back by the state as they are.
Right.
But it's all a plan to destabilize the sheep at sheep level so that it's more easy to control us. It's easier to control a population of people that are disbanded and don't communicate well with one another.
Right. And when you add the dynamic of music, because I come from I believe that
kids
music
love
is
that.
A powerful music is
it
a powerful is. Medium. So if you can use the music as a soundtrack to basically undermine and to the demise of the other people, it's like you got the perfect recipe for disaster.
I got a question for you. I have a question for you. What makes me different from the guys out on the streets that are killing other people? I've killed people. I've had people try to kill me. I've survived. I've died and I've survived. But I'm not out there doing it now. What makes me different from those that are out there doing it now?
You can't survive death. You were just almost dead. You can't survive death. You either dead or you're not. Almost dead ain't quite dead.
No, I've been resuscitated twice.
Yeah, but that's still not. Death is gone.
I have died. I have been killed in combat and brought back.
I realize what you're saying, but what I'm saying is that although they may have pronounced you dead, the fact that you are here lets me know that was just an incorrect description of what you had went through. They was able to revive you. That so almost dead.
Well, that's because if they hadn't tried, I would have definitely been dead because I was dead before they started resuscitating me.
Right, but the fact that they was able to revive you, to me, dead is dead. If you're here, then you ain't dead.
All right,
you're
this sounds like another blog
but
post.
But my question is, my actual question goes back to.
Okay, I'm leaving it on. I'm done.
My actual question goes back to what makes me able. Hold on now. My question is, what makes me capable of controlling my killer instincts, whereas other people out on the street can't?
Right. So this is the difference to me. The difference is, number one, you know, you've had training, right? You didn't just go nilly willy, and you've had some type of training.
You're right.
Structure. Number two, you had a particular mission that you needed to fulfill.
An objective
objective or a goal. Now, what we're seeing with the killings with these rappers and on the streets is it's due to a lot of ego, you know, a lot of emotion.
Exactly.
And then again,
and
you add the
from?
Drugs and alcohol.
Where does a lack of structure?
It's a recipe for disaster.
where does a lack of structure and ego come from?
Not having a father and being raised by too much feminine energy.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, emotional. Exactly. Yeah, emotional women raising them. You know, things like that. Yeah. So that's what
okay.
we're dealing with.
That's,
like I say, a lot of these kids
with.
Have.
And then they use the
daddy
music
and
to propagandize issues. It. They use the music to propagandize it, to,
exactly.
and put it in the people's heads to make people think that that's a cool source of action and a way to get respect.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of
right.
conflict resolution, actual true conflict resolution, where we will grow as a community from.
Fact.
Just to just to continually cause destabilization throughout our nation.
Right.
Hey,
and,
let me
and I don't know if the rappers.
I
don't know if the rappers know that they're doing it, or but if they do know, again, I don't think that they care because they're getting paid.
Exactly.
Let me add this because
exactly.
I don't want to sound like we just bash women. By saying over emotional, because I know some women will take that the wrong way. We're just saying that it's always better to have a balance
structure
of a man
that
and a woman
fact.
That's training
yeah.
the child, because that way, because some
yeah.
sometimes you have children who are just a single parent home by men, and we can't show them the emotion that they need.
That's me.
You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I was raised only by my father,
yeah.
so I have a lack of empathy and a lack of sympathy. And a lack of emotional, like, control, as in there's certain emotions that I can't understand and I won't ever be able to accept or feel properly.
Right.
I don't know actual love, but I also know that I don't need to go around killing people, even though I don't have a problem killing people.
Right, right,
mm-hmm.
right. So, yes,
yeah,
that's one thing. Yeah, right on, Carl. Appreciate it. Yeah,
right,
that's a good point.
Care.
So,
thanks
like
for,
you. Yes, indeed. Appreciate it. But like you say, Mufasa, the balance is needed. And as we know in our community, a lot of guys are being raised by women, you know, single, emotional. Well, I don't even have to put emotion in, but they're raised by women. And we need that balance of the masculine and feminine, period, point blank. And, you know, these guys, they have, like I say, mommy issues, daddy issues, and they're struggling, and they take that stuff out, and they get too emotional. You know, somebody does something that they feel is disrespectful, then it escalates into some, you know, it goes far left, you know what I'm saying? And somebody end up getting killed behind it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just a lot of things that contribute to what we're seeing. And I think as far as the rappers being killed, that's really just, you know, a microcosm of the big picture in black society, to where we have conflicts with each other over petty stuff. Like, I'm not saying you're never going to get rid of all conflicts. I don't believe in that. Like, I'm not some thinking that, oh, we just go have a perfect world where nobody gets into it. No, no, no. You can have arguments, disagreements, fights even. But, you know, getting ready to take someone's life, then you go into another level. You know what I'm saying? And that's where, like our brother say, the conflict resolution comes in, because we have to be able to diffuse certain issues and not take certain things so personal and let your ego get bruised to where you feel like you got to retaliate, or you're not a real man if you don't set the record straight as far, you know what I'm saying, things like that. So, you know, it's just a lot that, you know, we have to deal with on that front. But I digress. Let's see if we can get some call lines, see what's cracking.
Area code 314-568. Call your own with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm just listening to Barry.
All right.
Okay.
I was gonna ask him a question. Yes, indeed. Appreciate you calling.
Dang. Hey, yeah, appreciate that, brother. One of my
one of my
arch nemesis.
You want to get another call? Roger.
Area code 319-572. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, okay.
Okay,
well,
just missed.
And it covers the green real good.
Hit it, Tang. Mute him. Tang, can you mute him? Oh, Roger, I'm sorry.
I did.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so family. So we got, like, it's a long list of rappers, including my favorite rapper who was gunned down in Las Vegas, Nevada, behind something. You know, the narrative is they beat up somebody and he came back and retaliated. This is Tupac Amaru Shakur that I'm speaking of. And, you know, that death, along with Biggie Smalls' death, Notorious Big, I thought that would have been, and as naive as I was thinking, I thought that would have been the one that would have turned this thing around. You know, I thought people would have started getting it together like, hey, we're not trying to go out like Pac and Big. You know, let's do better. Let's try to do better and live longer. Like, those two men died at 25, which is crazy, you know, due to gun violence. So, you know, we have a lot of work to do. I would say you don't want to start with the industry rappers. You got to start with the youth, with the kids, getting them on point. And like I say, they'll start to make different music. But as it stands right now, it seems like there's a cloud of emotion and almost like a death wish, you know, that some of these kids have coming up. It's like they just don't care, and they're at the point where they're suicidal, but they don't want to actually just off themselves. You know what I'm saying? They're suicidal, but they don't want to just jump off a bridge, jump off a building, or shoot themselves. They rather, you know, go through the motions of using hard drugs, which is killing them, getting emotional over things and fighting, and then it leads to death. So, in a sense, like I say, they're on a death wish, and they're just playing it out as opposed to killing themselves. They'll let somebody else do it by, you know, getting into those type of situations, whether this is, you know, conscious or subconsciously. A lot of the youth are on this type of time, you know. So, you know, we got to do our part as far as with our kids and with the young people that are around us. And like I say, I'm not with really censoring the music per se, because I feel like you should be able to separate the entertainment from the real lifestyle. You know, I listen to a lot of rap music and a lot of things, and not one, you know, they never, I would say, never influenced me to do something too crazy. You know, I was influenced by the music and by the you know, by the hip hop lifestyle and the genre, but they never influenced me to do nothing too crazy. However, I could see how certain people could be influenced if they don't have, you know, the proper guidance to distinguish, you know, what's beneficial and what's not. I could see people falling victim to being influenced by, you know, these so-called celebrities, you know, that rap or whatnot. So, yeah, I digress, family. We coming down to the last 10 minutes. You feel me? If y'all want to, you know, y'all got some comments to get in, you know.
Okay. Hold on. Let's get someone back on really fast. Area code 315-767. We just had a request. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio.
Yeah, I want to make it fast. I want to make it quick. Yeah, a little thought hit me in the head. you know, the type of music we grew up to was a lot more lively, was happier music. Our parents listened to a little bit happier music, so that's what we grew up. That's what we heard in the background as we were formulating
right.
our little brains. Our little brains
that's
were
right.
being formulated around a happier, more constructive form of music. And we also went to church
right.
and we had hymns that we learned and we sang. And if you went to school, you did the little Pledge of Allegiance. That was our music back then. Nowadays, these young
mm-hmm.
little brains, between the ages of 0 to 5, they're being formed listening to this ratchet noise that we call music today.
Right.
They're getting these ideas and these thoughts and these curse words and these sexual adjectives and the murder implanted in their heads while their brains are still under their foundational construction. So that is like, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian mostly because I can't stop being a Christian because it was indoctrinated on me as I was a child coming up in Sunday school. I don't really believe
mm-hmm.
in Christ or a God at this point, but it's hard to shake it because it is a foundational belief because it's been built into my brain in that very formative state. So
right.
if we can try to change it today if we want to, but we have to start with the youth and stop them from hearing this. That means everybody needs to change what they're listening to so that they can prepare. And that this is a generational fix. This isn't a fix to people today. They're beyond fixing. They're,
right.
they're who they are. So this is a generational thing. To save your children, that's talking to like you, cuz too, you got to change what you put in your forming child's ears. All
right,
that's all right. I got to say. It starts with what you pump into these babies. You pump them with
yes,
hate,
indeed.
They're going to grow up with hate. All
right. Right.
Thanks for letting me on again.
Yeah. Right on. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Because music, like I was saying earlier on, has a certain frequency about it. And
right.
when I have two children, and when I was pregnant, I played a certain type of music consciously for my children while they were in the womb. But I would play music like classical music. That's all I would play for them if it was music. So I do agree with that, you know, certain things you just, I mean, the way you raise your child and the atmosphere and all those things, that plays a major role in the mindset, the development, you know. So, like, I think
right.
a lot of kids, unfortunately, are just underdeveloped. I think they're raised with, you know, eating hot chips and best soda. They're not eating vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's just like, you know, they're not, their brain is not being properly raised.
And to add to that, when you're trying to tell these young parents who are doing those foolish things, when you try to advise them, I'm speaking from experience, that they shouldn't be doing that, they rebel and just, for whatever reason, don't pay attention and just still do the dumb stuff anyway. You know, so I guess it's one of the things where sometimes you just have to, how the saying go? You know, you just have to go through it to learn it. You know, learn from your mistakes, which is unfortunate. You know, it would be nice if, you know, you could tell a young person something and they really take it in. And I'm not saying all, because some do. But I'm talking about the ones who just don't take it in. Hey, I had my time as well. I remember being young and
right,
my
parents
right. trying to tell me some things. And, but no, Brother Mufasa still wanted to clown and, you know, do things that I knew I had no business doing. You know, and I had to take my bumps and learn. You know, thank
right.
God that I didn't. You know, that's how I know that I have been protected to a certain extent, because it's so many things that I was involved in and was around it. You know, I know I didn't have to be here right now. I could have been dead or incarcerated. And that's the truth. So I'm thankful every day
indeed.
That, you know, that I got through those hard times, you know, that I made it through that. And it's sad that some of us don't get through it. Some of us don't. You know, some of us don't take heed and have to learn the hard way. And sometimes learning the hard way can take everything away from you because you can lose your lose your life and you can't get that back. You can't get that back.
That's a fact. Yes, sir. That's a fact. And I agree, man. We've all been young and been there before. That's why I'm not, you know, I understand that the music, as far as the message, needs to change. But I'm not with the censoring. I just think if we handle our business, you know, as a community and as parents, we'll see that change reflected. You know, even though we got a battle against, you know, the society and the world and things that they put out. But I think if we handle our business as parents and as a community, we can change the dynamic of the music that's put out there. I think we all know, you know, that the machine, as far as the mainstream, they want to push that negative energy out there. They like that. You know what I'm saying? They like reporting on rappers' deaths and, oh, it was a shooting, it was this, it was that. They like that because, you know, again, death gets ratings. You know, murder gets ratings. If it bleeds, it leaves, is what they say in the media world. If it bleeds, it leaves. So they like that type stuff. We just have to reject it and control the narrative in our community as far as that goes. And get people more conscious and more aware of the situation they're in. You know what I'm saying? Of the plans, of the traps that are set. And, you know, people can do better, I believe, if they know better. You know, but a lot of these kids are ignorant to the facts. And, you know, they on suicide missions. You know, and it's sad that these people are, quote unquote, again, successful in getting money and taking care of their families, and they got to go down due to some gun violence or, you know, some beef, or they done beat somebody up, some crazy minor thing that, you know, should not cost a life, in my opinion. You know, so, it is what it is, man. I digress. I think this has been a great show. You know, we did drop some solutions as well. And, you know, we'll see how this thing plays out moving forward, you know. We'll let Roger wrap us up.
Mufasa?
Go ahead.
So, yeah,
okay,
so.
Okay, okay.
Well, just real quick.
Can
I
you hear me?
Just,
yeah, go ahead.
Can't be your name, Mufasa.
I know it's not, but I know my name ain't Mufasa. But real quick, I just want to say condolences to all the rappers, to the families. You know, we talking, you know, a lot, but I just want to say condolences to the people and their loved ones that got gunned down, you know, from Nipsey, from Pop Smoke, Mo3, these young guys, King Von, all the way to Tupac, Skylar Rock, Jam Master Jay, everybody, just condolences because, again, I love hip-hop, I love the genre, and just want to send condolences to those people and their families. Love and light.
All right. Yeah, thank everybody for tuning in with us again. And we hope that you tune in with us next Sunday and each and every Sunday. Like always, any show topic ideas, feel free to email us at collectivemindyahoo.com. Tune in with us next week. See you. Peace.
Peace.
That's a long life.
Long live Lil' Cliff.